وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ and there should be among you an ummah. وَلْتَكُمْ law over here is of amr, meaning this is a must, and it's of wujub, meaning this is wajib upon you, this is mandatory upon you. It is a must, you must do it, you don't have any choice with regards to this. That there must be minkum among you ummatun, a group, meaning a group of you should be dedicated to doing this. Doing what? يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, calling people to that which is good. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. A group of you must do this. Now over here, minkum, min has been understood in two ways. First of all, it is said that min over here is of tab'id. What does it mean? That some of you should be dedicated to doing this. Not all of you, not every single one among you, but some of you should be dedicated to doing this. Others have said that no, min over here is za'id, it is extra. And what it means is that وَلْتَكُونُوا كُلُّكُمْ أُمَّةٌ, and all of you should be an ummah. All of you Muslims should be such an ummah, such a group of people who are calling people to that which is good, telling them to do that which is right, and forbidding the people from doing that which is wrong. Because many people misunderstand this ayah, and they say, only some people are supposed to order that which is right and forbid that which is wrong. Okay, I choose not to be one of those people. No. Yes, some people, they must do it, but it is obligatory upon all of us to some extent. So, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ. What should this ummah do? يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. يَدْعُونَ is from the root letters دَلْ عَيْنْ وَا دَعَى يَدْعُ, which is to call, to invite. So, call who? Call to what has been said, إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, but call who? Everyone. Call everyone to that which is khayr. You see, when you call someone to something, it can be in two ways. That first of all, you call someone who is outside, and you call them inside. So, if someone is not a Muslim, you call them to khayr when you call them to Islam. And the other is that somebody is within Islam, but they don't realize what khayr is, or they forget what khayr is. So aren't you going to call them? Are you just going to say, no, she's a Muslim, she should know better? Don't they need to be advised? Don't they need to be reminded? Of course. So يَدْعُونَ هُ, everyone, all of mankind, whether believers or not. Because everyone needs to be reminded about khayr. Everyone needs to be told about what khayr is. To the extent that some scholars have said, this also applies to not just human beings, but even the jinn. Not just the human beings, but even the jinn. That if a person gets the opportunity to do da'wah to the jinn, he must do so. Really. So, يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. And الْخَيْرِ is from the root letters خَا يَا رَا. What does خَيْرِ mean? That which is good. Basically, خَيْرِ has been understood as everything that is beneficial for a human being. Anything that is beneficial for a human being. Where? In this dunya or in the akhir. Something that could benefit a person in this world, or something that could benefit a person in the hereafter. That is what خَيْرِ is. Literally. So, يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, what does it mean by calling people to good? This can be understood in different ways. First of all, خَيْرِ is understood as all those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. All those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves of. What does that include? Everything which is in accordance with the Sharia. So for example, calling people to salah, calling people to tawheed, calling people to speaking the truth, calling people to giving sadaqah, calling people to study the Quran. This is khayr. Why? Because it is something that Allah likes, and it is something that is according to the Sharia. So basically, calling people to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ta'atullah. Secondly, we can understand khayr as those things that are means of benefit for the people in this dunya and also in the akhirah. For example, if a place is dirty, let's say the masjid hasn't been cleaned, or the masjid needs to be vacuumed, or there was, you know, a function and volunteers are needed to clean the masjid area. So if you call someone to come and clean the masjid area, is that cleaning an action of khayr? Yes. Why? Because it is something that will benefit other people in this dunya, And eventually this act is also going to benefit the person in the akhirah. Similarly, cleaning the streets, keeping everything clean, this is what? Khair. Because many times people think khair is only salah, only zakah, only rituals. And they think that cleaning, this is something that is not part of our deen. This is something that should not be given much importance. Which is why when people are given different voluntary positions or volunteer work, what do they prefer? That I should be given the chance to lecture or speak or something to do with, you know, being up on the stage. And if we're given the duty of, let's say, arranging the desks or putting the table or something like that, we think that is not khair. But khair is also this, because it is something that is benefiting the people in the dunya and also in the akhirah. Khair also includes tarku shar. What is tarku shar? Leaving that which is bad, leaving that which is wrong. So yad'una ila al-khair, there should be a group of people who are calling others to that which is khair. Now, this is something that is wajib upon us. Because at the beginning, what does Allah say? Waltakun. There must be this. There must be among you an ummah. So just as praying salah is wajib upon us, giving zakat is wajib upon us, similarly, calling people to khair is also something that is wajib upon us. So how will we do yad'una ila al-khair? First of all, we see that we can call people to khair, and there are different levels of khair. Some actions are fard, some are nafl, and you have to prioritize. If there is an action that is at the level of fard, for instance salah, that is something that is mandatory upon you to call people to. Okay, that is something that is mandatory upon you to call people to, and you cannot compromise that for that which is nafl, that which is voluntary. For instance, if somebody says, I have to go buy groceries for my children, can you please come with me? Can you just accompany me? I don't want to go alone. Can you please accompany me? So you say, okay, fine. But it's time for Maghrib. They're calling you to khair. Are you going to go? No. Why? Because you have to give priority to that which is fard, and then comes nafl. And in yad'una ila al-khair, there are two things. That one is that somebody is calling you, so you respond to them. You cooperate with them. And the other is that you should also be the one who is calling other people to khair. So, one is that you call people to khair, and the other is that if somebody else is calling, you cooperate with them, you help them, you assist them, you listen to them, you obey them. يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ And they command that which is right. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ And they forbid that which is wrong. يَأْمُرُونَ from أَمْر And بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Ma'roof is that which is recognized by what? Recognized as right and correct. How? By the sharia and also by the aql, by the intellect. How is ya'muruna bil ma'ruf different from yad'una ila al-khayr? Khayr is general. Khayr is am, good. Khayr includes good of this dunya, good of the akhirah, good of the dunya, and good of the deen. Okay? But ma'ruf in particular refers to that which is good in the deen. So يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ They should order that which is ma'ruf. So يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ is more specific. And يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ is more general. It's an open invitation. But يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ is specific. So for instance, يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ is like, for instance, a khatib giving a khutbah, reminding everybody in the general sense. But يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ is on a personal level, on a one-on-one level. Okay? You understand the difference? يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ is, for example, you publish a pamphlet, or you create awareness. You have an event to make people aware. That is يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. But يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ is on a personal level, on a one-on-one level. That when somebody is not doing that which is right, you tell them to do that which is right. When somebody is making a mistake, you remind them of that which is correct. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ And they forbid that which is wrong. And munkar is that which is unacceptable, that which is considered wrong by the sharia as well as by the aql. The Prophet ﷺ said, Whoever among you witnesses an evil, then let him change it with his hand. If he is unable, then let him change it with his tongue. And if he is unable, then let him change it with his heart. And that is the weakest faith. If you see something wrong, what should you do? Stop it with your hand. If you can't stop it, stop it with your tongue. If you can't do that, then consider it wrong in your heart. Don't acknowledge it even in your heart. So for instance, if somebody is drinking with their left hand, what are you going to do? It's their personal choice. Tell them to drink with the right hand. Similarly, if you know that somebody is not memorizing their lesson, what should you do? Tell them. If you know that somebody is cheating, what should you do? Tell them not to. If they don't listen, what are you going to do? Tell them again. Tell the group in charge. Tell the teacher. Because that is a part of يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Similarly, if somebody is, you know, sitting on the grass and is just picking on the grass and uprooting the grass or harming or destroying the plants, what are you going to do? Let them do it? No. If you're driving somewhere and your friend just throws a wrapper or something out the window, what are you going to do? You're not going to stop that. You're going to say, oh, it's kafir land anyway. Really, some people think that. We're in a place which is of non-Muslims. This is not Makkah, this is not Medina. So you can make it filthy as much as you want. No big deal. But this is against يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And remember, at the beginning of the ayah, what does Allah say? وَلْتَكُنْ. This is a must. Just as salah is must. Just as zakat is must. Speaking the truth is must. Not lying is a must. Similarly, doing all of these things is also a must. What? Calling people to khair, telling them to do that which is right, and stopping them from wrong. If somebody is stealing, if somebody is writing on somebody else's book, if somebody is lying to another, and you know about what the truth is, are you just going to ignore? Are you just going to close your eyes and ears? No. What we're being told is that we have to live consciously ourselves, and we also have to remind other people, because many times people forget, or people don't know. And if we see wrong being done, and if we don't stop it, what is that? We are agreeing with that wrong. We are cooperating with the other person in doing that which is wrong. Because silence is approval. So if somebody is doing something wrong, and if you don't stop them, you're silent. That means you're approving them. So you will also have a share in the wrong. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And it is such people who are successful. Who? Those people who يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ then يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ and then يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. It is such people who are successful. And who are successful people? فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. Whoever is drawn away from the fire and is admitted into Jannah, then he is successful. So in this ayah we see that it is an obligation upon all of us to do what? يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. But the question is that is it fard ayn or is it fard kifaya? What is fard ayn? That action which is mandatory upon every single Muslim, like praying the salah. And what is fard kifaya? That if some people do it, it is enough. For instance, salatul janazah. Okay? 5 times salah, it is fard ayn. Salatul janazah is fard kifaya. So doing da'wah, telling people to that which is right, and stopping them from wrong, is it fard ayn or fard kifaya? Both, depending on the situation. In some situations, it becomes fard ayn. When? When you are the only person who can stop people from wrong, or who knows that people are doing that which is wrong. When you know that people are doing that which is wrong. So for instance, you are sitting in a gathering, and people are talking, and they end up backbiting about something. Now you're listening and you learned the definition that ghiba is that you talk about your brother in a way that he would dislike it. So the other people, they haven't studied, they don't know. What are you going to do? In that situation, it becomes fard ayn upon you, because you know, you remembered, you realized, it becomes mandatory upon you to remind the other people. Because many times people have studied, they know, but they forget. Literally, they forget. We forget. We're human beings. That's why we're insan. So if Allah reminded you, if you have a tawfiq to remember that that conversation is falling under ghiba, then it becomes mandatory upon you to stop the other person or to do that which is right. In other situations, it becomes fard kifaya. How? that when there is someone who is already doing يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ, somebody is already doing that, then it doesn't become fard upon you. So for instance, you come here every single day. Different roles played by different people, correct? Someone is the cleanliness in charge, another is a class in charge, another person is another in charge. So in such situations, it doesn't become fard ayn upon you when the situation is known to everybody. So for instance, in the classroom, if a person is talking up very loud, if you're sitting next to them, you should stop them. But every person in the classroom should not get up and say stop. Why? Because there is someone already given the in charge that they have to stop them. Because when everybody starts doing it, then it becomes difficult for the other person to accept as well. So first of all, we have to realize that it is fard ayn in some situations and fard kifaya in another situation. But it is mandatory upon us, depending on the situation that we are in. Secondly, we have to remember that we have to have knowledge when we are calling people to khair. If we don't have knowledge of khair, and we are calling people to khair, and they ask us, what is this that you're telling me about? And we don't know. For instance, we go stand at a booth giving da'wah, and we tell people, you should read the Qur'an. Just read it and you will know. And they ask, have you read the Qur'an? And you say, no. Only forges. So you should know about what you're calling people to. Sometimes people give out flyers, people give out books without reading the flyers themselves, without reading the books themselves. So it's important for us to know about what we're calling people to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, ayah 36, وَلَا تَقَفُوا مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, and do not pursue that of which you have no knowledge of. If you don't know, it's better to remain quiet. Thirdly, if we are going to stop someone from doing that which is wrong, it is important that we have knowledge of the entire situation. Okay? If we're going to stop someone from doing that which is wrong, it is important that we have knowledge of the entire situation from before. For instance, it's the month of Ramadan, and you see somebody eating. And you say, why are you eating? Why are you breaking your fast? And you don't know that they were ill, that they were sick, or because of some other reason they're not fasting. Or you start making fun of them. No, you shouldn't do that. If you don't know the entire situation, then don't stop people. You should know the entire situation from before and then take a step. Similarly, when you stop people from doing wrong, then you must be certain that you have the ability to stop the other person from that wrong action. You should be certain that you can actually make a difference. Because if you cannot make a difference, it's possible that your stopping may lead to a greater evil. Correct? Your stopping or your calling may lead to greater evil. How? If you stop someone from doing that which is wrong, you should be certain that you can actually have an effect. And if you know that you cannot have an effect, then you should remain quiet. For instance, it happens with many parents that they tell their children to pray salah. The child doesn't pray at home, and you're telling him, go pray salah at the masjid. He doesn't even pray at home. You think he's going to pray at the masjid? No, he's not going to. He's probably going to say something, I'm never going to pray. So it might lead to greater evil. For instance, Ibn Taymiyyah, he passed by the Tartars once. And they were the people who had attacked the Muslims. And they were drinking. So some of his students, they were with him, and they said, let's stop these people from drinking, because they're drinking and alcohol is haram, so we should stop them. And he said, no, let them drink. Because when they will get drunk, then they will not go and harm the Muslims. And when they're not drunk, then what's going to happen? They're going to go and harm the Muslims. So sometimes our stopping may lead to greater evil. So we have to be mindful of the situation. We have to be mindful of our role, of our effectiveness. If we can really have an effect, then we must go ahead. Similarly, a person is smoking. He has a habit of smoking. And if you tell them, stop smoking, they're going to go take another drug. If you hide their cigarettes, what are they going to do? They're going to go buy more. If you take their money away, they're going to steal. Correct? So make sure that your stopping does not lead to greater evil. But what should we do? فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَعْتِ ذِكْرًا. Remind people. Why? because a reminder benefits. And فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ ذِكْرَى has also been understood as, so remind if the reminder should benefit. So if you think that your reminder is going to benefit the people, then remind. And many times we see that sometimes when we learn about the Qur'an, we want everybody to change. And we keep telling, especially younger people, go study the Qur'an, stop your school, go to the Qur'an, go study the Qur'an, pray, leave this, pray nafl, leave this, read the Qur'an. What happens? The other people, they become very irritated. Because we start nagging people and they become irritated. So remind only if you know that your reminder is going to benefit. Similarly, another thing that we must remember is that when doing Ya'muruna bil Ma'ruf, we have to have sabr. We have to have patience. Because without sabr, this work cannot be done. Without sabr, this work cannot be done. The Prophet ﷺ, when he started this, he had to go suffer a boycott for 3 years. Nuh alayhi salam, he did da'wah for 950 years, for so long. So sabr is required. And sabr means that when somebody doesn't listen to you, you feel bad, you cry in front of Allah, but you don't give up. You don't answer them back. This is what sabr is. So sabr is also required for this work. What does Allah say? That it is only such people who are successful. So in order to be successful, this work is necessary. It is extremely important for the collective success of the Muslim Ummah. This work is very important. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا And do not be like those people who became divided. When? After their deen came to them. وَاخْتَلَفُوا And they differed with each other. What's the difference between tafarraqu and ikhtalafu? Tafarraq is that people become divided from each other, meaning they separate away from each other. So for instance, people are together in one place, there is a difference of opinion and a group of them says, fine, we're leaving. Okay? So for instance, there is an institute, there is a masjid, some people differ and what do? They go and they make their own masjid. They go and they make their own institute. This is what tafarraq is. وَاخْتَلَفُوا What is اِخْتِلَاف? اِخْتِلَاف is an opinion, in belief, in your perspective. So, اِخْتِلَاف comes first, and تَفَرُّق comes after. So don't be like those people who became divided, and who differed with each other, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ After the clear signs came to them. What are the bayyinat referring to? The deen. وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ For them is a great punishment. For them is a great punishment. This is something very serious. In the previous verses, it was emphasized that you must stay together. You must remain united. And you must remind one another. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ And now over here, we're being warned that don't be like those people who became divided, who differed with one another after knowledge came to them. Because for such people, there is a great punishment. When? In the dunya and also in the akhirah. Because those people who differ with one another, they don't just suffer from difference, but they also suffer from envy. From hatred, from jealousy, from feelings of competition. And the hasid, the person who has envy in his heart, he is the one who suffers. So, وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ For such people, there is a great punishment. For who? For those people who split into factions and those people who differ after guidance has come to them. This is why it is important to do أَمَرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهِيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ The Prophet ﷺ said, By He in whose hand is my soul, you will enjoin righteousness. You must enjoin righteousness and you must forbid evil or Allah will send down a punishment from Him to you. Then you will supplicate to Him, but He will not accept your supplication. You will make dua to Him, but He will not accept your dua. This is a great punishment. And when does it come? When people do not do Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ On the day when some faces will be white. وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ And some faces will be blackened. تَبْيَضُّ is from بَا يَا ضَاد From the word بَيْض. And what does that mean? White. So تَبْيَضُّ, it will become white. Meaning it will become very bright. It will be radiant. It will be glowing. It will be shining. وُجُوهٌ faces of some. وُجُو is the plural of وَجْ. Whose faces will be white and radiant on that day, on the day of judgment? Those people whose hearts were white and radiant in the dunya. Remember, we can have differences, but the hearts cannot be separated. Difference of opinion is something that is normal, but when the hearts become separated, that is when the problem comes. Because when the hearts are disunited, then what happens? Jealousy, backbiting, envy, hatred, all of these feelings come. So on the day of judgment, when some faces will be white, they'll be bright. Whose? Those people whose hearts were clean. وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُّ And other people whose faces will be black. Why? Because their hearts were black. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ اسْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُمْ Then as for those people whose faces will be black, they will be told, they will be asked, أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ Did you disbelieve after your iman? What is this disbelief? What is this kufr referring to? What was the problem that these people suffered from? What does the previous ayah say? Do not differ. Do not differ. Again, difference of opinion is okay. But difference of the hearts, that is not permissible. Because that leads to disunity. And that kills a person's Islam. That kills a person's iman. It takes a person away from the Quran. So, أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ Did you disbelieve after your iman? فَذُوقُوا Then you should taste. What? الْعَذَابَ The punishment. Why? بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ Because of the kufr that you used to do. And on the other hand, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ بِيَضَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ And as for those people whose hearts were white. As for those people whose faces are white. Who are they? Whose hearts were white. Whose hearts were clean. فَفِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ Then they will be in the mercy of Allah. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ And they will be in it eternally. Who are these people? Who stayed united despite the differences. تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ These are the verses of Allah. نَتْلُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ We recite them upon you in truth. وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ظُلْمًا لِلْعَالَمِينَ And Allah does not intend any injustice for the creatures. So these verses that are being recited, these are the ayat of Allah. So take them seriously. This is not the speech of a human being. It is not just somebody else's opinion. No. It is the ayat of Allah. And they're being recited to you with the haq, meaning this is indeed the reality. And Allah does not intend to do any injustice upon the people of the worlds. So if the people are punished, that is not injustice. And if the people are rewarded, even that is not injustice upon others. What happens is, that however you are in the dunya, that is your recompense in the hereafter, according to that. So depending on what the person has done in the dunya, if your hearts are clean, on that day, your face will be clean. If your heart is dirty, on that day, your face will be dirty. This is not injustice upon the people. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ And to Allah belongs whatever that is in the heavens and whatever that is in the earth. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجِعُ الْأُمُورِ And to Allah return all of the affairs. So yes, there may be many things that people differ over. But what should we remember at the end of the day? That everything is going to return to Allah for decision. And He will decide. But right now, if I differ from someone, why should I ruin my akhlaq? Why should I destroy my actions? Why should I get stuck in this difference and come down at the level of the other person who is being rude to me? Because sometimes in differences, when doing يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ When doing يَنْهَوْنَ عَلَى الْمُنْكَرِ What do? We forget akhlaq. If somebody is praying differently, we forget to be nice to them. We forget gentleness. We forget kindness. We forget ihsan. Because we know that which is right. And we keep telling the other person, we keep coming down on them. We become very condescending. But we should remember that everything is going to return to Allah. He will decide. So if somebody doesn't accept, why should I destroy my actions? Why should I destroy my good deeds? Listen to the recitation.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه فأما الذين اسودت وجوههم أكفرتم بعد إيمانكم فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون وأما الذين ابيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله هم فيها خالدون تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق وما الله يريد ظلما للعالمين ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإلى الله ترجع الأمور.
You know this ayah, يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه. There's something very scary. In the dunya, we're so careful about our faces being clean and looking good. People apply different things to cover marks on their faces. But in the hereafter, whatever is in your heart is going to come on the face. Then you cannot hide it. Then you cannot conceal it. And even in this dunya, many times whatever is in the heart, it becomes visible on the face. If somebody is confused in the heart, you see the confusion on the face. If somebody is scared, you see the fear on the face. If somebody is uncomfortable, you see the discomfort on their face. So feelings, thoughts cannot be concealed in the heart. They become exposed. And on the day of judgment, they will be exposed on the faces. People who have clean hearts, their faces will be clean. And people who have dirty hearts, their faces will be dirty. What determines the cleanliness of the heart and what determines the dirtiness of the heart? When is the heart clean? With taqwa, with iman, with unity. And when is the heart dirty? With disunity. With disunity. Because unity leads to good actions. And disunity leads to sins against people as well as against Allah. Because many times, just because we dislike a person, just because we differ from them, we're not going to smile at them. We're not going to say salam to them. We're not even going to look at them. And if they're being mentioned in a bad way, in a situation, we're also going to mention them. We're also going to talk bad things about them. So disunity leads to more sin. Which is why these verses have come right after disunity. That don't be like those people who differed, especially after knowledge came to them. After you know that Allah wants you to be united. After you know what the correct thing to do is. Then don't become divided, because you're not here forever. Everything you feel in your heart is going to be exposed tomorrow. It's going to be on your face. Literally, it's going to be on your face.
Let's listen to the recitation from the beginning.
لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ كُلُّ الطَّعَامِ كَانَ حِلًّا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِلَّا مَا حَرَّمَ إِسْرَائِيلُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ إِلَّا مَا حَرَّمَ إِسْرَائِيلُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تُنَزَّلَ التَّوْرَاةُ قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِالتَّوْرَاةِ فَاتْلُوهَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَمَنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ فَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ عَلَى مَا تَعْمَلُونَ قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ لِمَ تَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَن آمَنَ تَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا وَأَنتُمْ شُهَدَاءُ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تُطِيعُوا فَرِيقًا مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إن تطيعوا فريقا من الذين أوتوا الكتاب يردوكم بعد إيمانكم كافرين وكيف تكفرون وأنتم تتلى عليكم آيات الله وفيكم رسوله ومن يعتصم بالله فقد هدي إلى صراط مستقيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه فأما الذين اسودت وجوههم أكفرتم بعد إيمانكم فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون وأما الذين بيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله هم فيها خالدون تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق وما الله يريد ظلما للعالمين ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإلى الله ترجع الأمور
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.